Well, tell me, what is missions?
Building, strengthening God's church.
What? Say it like a man.
Building and strengthening God's church.
Building and strengthening God's church. It's our mission to build the church and to
strengthen
it. That's our mission. Who's a missionary? Everybody, don't even go we, say I am. Okay, who's a missionary? So what are we doing as missionaries? What are we doing as missionaries? Yes.
Discipleship.
Discipleship. Good. And the strategy of that is two things. What is it?
Love and
truth. Love and
truth.
Say it with pride.
Love and truth.
Louder.
Love and truth.
Louder.
Love and truth.
Louder.
Love and truth.
Good. Praise the Lord. Love and truth. Love and truth. Okay. Good. Listen. As missionaries, I'm one mission to, missionary to another missionary. Look, there's international missionaries. There's national missionaries. We are all missionaries. What are you doing to reach your campus for Christ? What are you doing to make an impact, just even in your youth group, to build the other believers? How many of you guys think we need to be in God's Word? How many think that? We all think that. But we saw there's a few. So what do you need to do? You need to say, hey, did you read your Bible last night?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Hey, did you read your Bible last night?
Yeah.
Good, okay. Did you read your Bible? You see, what am I doing by saying that?
Holding them accountable.
I'm holding them accountable. I'm encouraging them. Who will do that? Who will do that? Okay, good. So it's these types of things we need to do. How many of you guys, and so with that, I have a few questions I want us to answer in this area of missions. First of all, the first question is this. And you guys think of some questions. At the end, we'll let you ask questions, even if it's about dating, like someone did yesterday. Who was our dating question, girl? She's not here? Oh, my goodness. No, she's in the bathroom? Good. When she comes in, we'll all say, how was the bathroom? Okay, here's the first question I have for you, practical question. How to prepare yourself to become a missionary? How to prepare yourself to become a missionary? This is a international missionary one day. Okay, how to prepare yourself to become an international missionary. So get paper out, get pens out, and you can write the answers. I have seven quick things, and I'm going to give them to you quickly so we can deal with a lot of different things in our 1 hour together, okay? Hey, homie in the back, get your paper out. Get your paper out, get your pens out. Here we go. How to prepare yourself to become an international missionary, okay? First thing that needs to be done, and we've already hit on it some already. You need to learn to become a faithful Christian now. What do you need to do? Everybody together, what do you need to do? That was really somberly said. Yes, learn to be a faithful Christian now. What does that mean? You need to be faithful in the Word. You need to be faithful in church. Faithful at loving your brothers and sisters, okay? Faithful Christian now. You know what has killed missions? A lot of people who've never learned the disciplines of being faithful coming out because they're zealous, but they're not prepared. Does that make sense? See, what happens, some people get guilty, and so they want to do something with their life, so they run to the mission field. The problem is they've never learned what it is to be a faithful Christian. So they go out there, and they kill us. And you know, we have seen some crazy things in the short list, but learn to be a faithful Christian now. If you want to be a missionary, get in His Word right now. You see, listen, spiritual growth does not happen overnight. In Uganda, we have two different types of trees. We have hardwood trees, and we have softwood trees. You know one big difference between the two of them? What's that?
One of them's soft,
Okay, yes. There's another difference.
The heart takes a long time to grow.
So they grow slowly. So a lot of people, they like getting soft trees because they go quickly, like a eucalyptus tree or these types of things. But the problem is those trees also come down what? Easily. Whereas a hardwood tree, it's strong and it's stable and it goes nowhere. Does that make sense? We all want to be what? Hardwood trees. Okay? There's nothing more beautiful, nothing more handsome than a hardwood tree. Okay? They're the ones, when you come to Uganda, man, they're beautiful. And that's the kind of people that we want to be, hardwood trees. Well, listen, in order to be a hardwood tree, it's faithfulness now. And that faithfulness is now through time. Does that make sense? God developing you through time. And listen, to grow, God's got to beat you down through trials. God's got to use friends in your lives. And so all of that just takes time. And so that's why if you want to be a missionary, it starts when?
Now.
It starts now. And so with that, I want to encourage you. Look, you want to be a missionary? What time are you going to get in God's Word? What time? What time are you going to get in God's Word each day? Right now, and which time each day?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Good. When do you go to school? Do you go to school?
Seven, yeah, like 7:05.
7:05, so you got to be earlier.
7:55 is when it starts.
Huh? 7:55
is when it starts.
7:55 is when it starts?
Yeah.
So what time are you going to get in the Word then?
Who cares? You're going to get in at 7 o'clock at night.
So 6 o'clock then, right? Okay, that's what time you're going to get in?
Yeah.
Okay, good. How about you? What time?
8.
8? Do you go to school?
No, not right now.
You're not right now? Or are you just going to read, like, during school? That's cool, too. You know, during math classes, take out your Bible. Really spiritual. No, just kidding. But what you see what you're doing is be proactive. You won't do it unless you put it in your schedule. Okay? And so with that, not only that, but be faithful at church. Church is a means to the way you grow. And so you have to learn to be a faithful Christian.
No.
You have to learn to be a faithful Christian.
No.
Okay, good. Secondly, what you need to do to become a missionary, prepare yourself to become a missionary, is you need to be an expert in the gospel message. You need to become an expert in the gospel message. Okay? Now, what does that mean? How can you be a missionary if you don't know the gospel? Right? So with that, if I say, I forget what your name is, sweetie, what is it? You, right here. This because you've been my friend for a couple years now.
Zoe.
That's a cool name. Zoe, if I say, what's the gospel, you'd say what? Give me one thing about the gospel. He came down to save us, okay? And I say, okay, now where's that in the Bible? And I say, why? Now what happens is all of a sudden, and I'm not going to pick on you, but I could do that with this whole room, and I might do that as an activity next year. I could say, okay, tell me the gospel, and you guys could give me information. Oh, we're sinners. Okay, good. Well, where's that in the Bible? What is sin? What did Christ do to accomplish that sin? All of these different things, I can challenge you, and I can say, where's it in the Bible? You see, when you're evangelizing, when you're sharing the message of Christ, people don't want to just hear what you have to say. Show it to them in the Bible. But in order to do that, you need to be an expert. I will never forget the first time I tried to share my faith. It was to a Jehovah's Witness. I got beat up like crazy. I remember taking a shower thinking, man, I need to learn my Bible. And so with that, we need to become an expert in the gospel. You say, how can I do that, Shannon? How many have quests for truth? All right, where is it? In your room? Okay, listen. In your bag. Let me see it. Look, right here is the tool that I wish I had. This takes you step by step by step by step through the gospel. you want to become an expert in the gospel, do this. One, go through this yourself, or get your friends to go through it together. Okay? You get a few friends, and you guys say, let's go through this together. Get a few friends, let's go through this together, okay? And when you do it together, then what's going to happen is you're going to start learning. And then from there, you go and take a few friends through it. How many will make a promise with me, okay? There's a promise between me and God, you and God and me. How many will go home, and they'll take this right here, and they'll take somebody through it? How many are willing to commit themselves to do that? Okay? The rest, some of you guys aren't willing to commit yourself to do that. What I want, you guys do that. And as you do it, you're going to become an expert in the gospel. Okay? And that's the way we do it. I have guys in Uganda who've done that 10 times. And you ask them a question, they're like this. So if you're going to be a missionary, learn to become an expert in the gospel now. Okay? Third thing. Become an expert at knowing yourself and your giftedness. Become an expert in knowing yourself and your giftedness. You say, Shannon, what do you mean? The hardest thing on the mission field, oftentimes, is not the people you're going to do a mission with. Usually, it's your team, okay? It's your team. Like for me, I'm the leader. Well, I can be so strong in my personality that I can scare people. I don't know why I can scare people, but you know, but some people will get scared of me. So if I am always talking to people like this, and you don't ever tell me to talk softly, then I'll probably freak people out, right? So with that, how do I learn about my strengths and my weaknesses? Well, I need to ask people around me. So learn to know yourself. I think one challenge we have is we don't know ourselves. If I had a booger right here on my face, would you tell me?
Yes.
You would? Mm-hmm. If my zipper was down, how about that? Some of you are like, oh, the zipper's down. Oh, my goodness. But you'd look at me and it'd be like, ah, you know, but you wouldn't say anything. Right? Well, some of us, we have things worse than boogers on our faces. We have things, characteristics about us. Maybe it's just even you need to shave. You need to pluck a few nose hairs. I don't know what it is. But with that, it's help having, creating opportunities where people can speak into our lives. Does that make sense? And so this cord is tough. But with that, what you need to do is you need to say, hey, tell me two things you'd want to change about me. Tell me, what do you see as my weaknesses? See, such questions create what? Self-awareness. You know, sometimes you're just too emotional. So what does that mean? Okay, I need to work on managing my emotions. Sometimes we're not open and transparent. Well, see, when you're dealing as a missionary, you're interacting with a team of people. And, you know, here what happens, you go home. You don't live with each other. In the mission field, you're usually living right on top of each other. Does that make sense? So with that, you need to have that, you need to be aware of yourself. You need to know yourself. And the best way to do that, both in mission field and just in the Christian life, you need to know yourself. You need to what?
Know yourself.
So when's the last time you asked somebody, what's my weaknesses? Anybody have ever done that? Ask me what your weaknesses are. Even when I preach, I'll say, what should I have done better? You know? Because we always want to grow. So you need to know yourself. And that'll aid you in your and prepare you properly to be a missionary. And your giftedness. Some of you are, you get up to preach and you put us to sleep. Well, you know what? You probably shouldn't be a preacher. Right? So you need to know those gifts that you have so that you know how you can encourage the body. But some of you that can't preach, you can cook cookies and love people in a way that I can never do. I burn cookies. The other problem I have is I eat all the cookie dough so that the cookies never actually make it onto the plate. You know, so my spiritual gift is eating the cookies. But do you understand what I'm saying? Know what your giftedness is. And even if you're gifted in preaching and you know that you have a passion for it, well, you need someone to help you and refine that gift so that you become useful on the mission field. Fourth thing you need to do is this. You need to determine your mission. Determine your mission. Everybody, we all have some bents. What I find, sometimes you get guys that are evangelists and you get them in the church. And you know what happens? All they want to do is do evangelism every single week. Does that make sense? You get a pastor who's born to be an evangelist, and every week it's like he's bringing everybody in the streets, but they never grow deep. You ever had that experience? Then you get others that they always teach deep, but they're not going out and evangelizing. And so it's because we have some inclinations in our hearts and our passions. And so with that, determine in your heart, where has God called you? Has he called you to build the church? Has he called you to strengthen the church? And then with that, that will enable you to discern how God wants to use you. And I know some of you guys aren't thinking long-term missions, but again, this class partly is there to try and help you in that. So trying to determine where your heart is, and then where, and then that'll aid you in even determining your giftedness. Does that make sense? So determine where your heart is. The fifth thing is this, and I want you to hear this very loudly and very clearly. Get fully trained. Get fully
trained.
Get fully
trained.
Last thing we want is a missionary with a lot of zeal but no training. That's kind of like having a bull in a china shop, okay? Because they're all ready to go, but they've got nothing to give us. And let me tell you, the history of missions is this. Somebody that can't get a job in any other field, he comes to the mission field. That's the history of missions. Okay, you have no preparation, but you're zealous. And then you get out on the field and you've got nothing to offer. You want to be a missionary? How many want to be a doctor? Okay, if you want to be a doctor, you just love people. You can't help but help them. So do you not get training and go and start working in an operation room? It'd be stupid. You get all this training, then you get this practice, and that's what helps you to become an effective doctor, right? Same thing in the mission field. You want to go and you want to go to the mission field, go get a bachelor's degree, then go get a master's degree. Become an expert in the field that you're getting involved in. Do not let your zeal take you to the field. Let your zeal take you to the training room. And from the training room, then you'll be prepared to go to the mission field. Are we understanding each other? This is my encouragement to all of you. This is just being a dad now, okay? All of you go immediately to college and immediately get your master's degree done. Immediately. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Is that what they say? Go immediately and get that done. You say, why? This is what happens. You girls, you go to high school, then you meet some guy, you think he's good looking, then you get married, then you produce children, and all those educational dreams are gone. Okay, I'm not saying everybody's got to go get a master's, but certainly you men, you know, but what happens if you don't go and get that out of the way, you're gonna end up not getting it done. And that's key in this day and age. Go get that degree, get it done. And if you're going to be a mission field, please do not think that I don't need a master's degree. Don't think that. That's retarded. That's not wise thinking. We want the best missionaries on the field. Why? Someone is going to invest $100,000, $80,000 to $100,000 a year on you being on the mission field. That's a huge investment, isn't it? So be the best. I won't take anybody with me on the field long term unless he's the best, unless he's fully prepared. Because no wimp chicken babies on the mission field, okay? So get fully trained. Next is this. Are we okay? Are you happy? Sawa? Kale? Okay, good. Next is this. Get exposure to the mission field and be discipled by a missionary. Get exposure to the mission field and be discipled by a missionary. Okay, you want to be a missionary, how do you prepare? You prepare by getting exposure. Come to Uganda. Okay, listen, I'm on the mission field because I got exposure. But see, a lot of people, they go and be missionaries and they've never been on the mission field ever. And so what happens is it's like they don't even know what they're getting into. You know what happens when you go on the mission field? In most mission fields, you know what happens first 4 years?
Fall out.
Usually they fall out in 2 years, by the way. So $160,000 invested in you and you became a failure. And the reason is because they didn't know what they were doing. When I went to the mission field, let me tell you, I knew nothing about what I was doing. It was so stupid. I should have went out there. I should have lived there for a year, got exposure, knew what I was getting myself into. First 4 years, you know what a missionary does? Most fields, learns a language. If you don't like learning languages, mission field, in many cases, won't be for you. I speak in an English-speaking country. Uganda, official language, English. So that's cool. I'm too dumb to speak it, go anywhere other than an English-speaking country. But understand that if you're going to, you don't just go and say, okay, I want to be a missionary, IMB, here, take me. Understand, what are you getting into? Go, get exposure, live a year on the mission field with a missionary, serving him and just serving him. Don't worry about anything other than serving that missionary. We always think, I'm going to be the next Jim Elliot, and you go get involved in the field. Look, don't do that. Go get involved with the missionary. Let him disciple you. Let him prepare you. Let him encourage you. Let him expose to you what the mission field is. Does that make sense? All of you guys should consider something like that. It would be very cool for you to get exposed to missions and come and serve. You know, come for a summer. Do something like that, okay? Some of you are already coming to Uganda for a summer, right? Okay. So next is this. And the last thing, but let me make one other comment. Be discipled by a missionary. If you want to be a missionary, then be discipled by a missionary. Call them once a month and just say, I want to pray with you. And then come with a couple questions and just have them disciple you from afar. Anytime a missionary comes into town, ask them questions and just find out what's the hardest thing, da, 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 da. Last thing to prepare to be a missionary is this. Establish a deep relationship with your local church. Establish a deep relationship with your local church. One day, someone has to send you out. Who will be that sending agent? Your local church. And so with that, develop a deep relationship with your local church. And so that they, and with that, let me just say this. And then maybe just add an eighth one, okay? The eighth one is this. Disciple people now. Disciple people what?
Now.
Disciple people now. Every single one of us should be discipling someone. This is the way it works, guys, okay? And if you want to grow, you want to be, how many want to be successful Christians? Are you sure? Or you're just giving me like the religious thing. You need to be in the Word every day. And two, what you need is you need to be discipled and be discipling. Are you hearing me? You need to be discipled and you need to be discipling. Or you won't be successful. How many are being discipled right now by someone? Awesome. How many are discipling someone right now? Good. Well, that's what we need to do. So come to your youth leader and say, please disciple me. Youth leaders, are you ready for them to do that? I mean, you're like, come on, please. So that will enable you to, that will help prepare you to be a missionary. Okay, question number two. Are you ready? Question number two. And these are questions that the groups last week wanted me to answer. And that is this. How can I spread the gospel in my school? How can I spread the gospel in my
school?
In my school. How many want to spread the gospel in your school? Okay, good. I'm going to give you two principles, and then I'll fill in the principle, what you need to do in those principles. One, you need to prepare. Two, you need to execute. One, you need to prepare. Two, you need to
execute.
Prepare, execute. Okay? One, prepare. Two, execute. How do we prepare? Okay, what we're doing is we're preparing this person for the gospel. How do we do it? How do you think? What do you think is the principle to prepare them? What do you think? Take a guess.
Hello.
The Bible, yes. That's the execution, the Bible. Because the execution involves truth. What is how you're going to prepare? Love. Love is the means to prepare. Truth is the way you execute. But let me give you some principles under that. So prepare. There's three things I encourage you in preparing to evangelize, preparing to spread the gospel. First thing is this. In order to prepare, you need to first internalize the gospel in your own heart and life. Internalize the gospel in your own heart and life. Okay, do this. Everybody take the gospel right here. Everybody take it. Take the gospel. Okay, you got it? Okay, everybody's got to go like this. Good. How would it taste? Good? Okay, you need to what you say, Shannon, what do you mean? Listen. Some of us, we preach the gospel out of duty, but we haven't internalized the message. If I internalize the message, what it's going to do, someone get WD-40 for that thing. Okay, if I internalize the message, I'm the sinner. You're the sinner. We're the sinners, okay? It's me who needs salvation. It's me who needs the righteousness of Christ. I don't have it. I have no hope. It's me that needs it. If it's me and God comes and he saves me and I say, oh, Lord, thank you, then what'll happen is as I share it, I'll share it completely different. If it's me, the one that's been saved by grace, then what's going to happen is I'm going to say, dude, listen, please, you must come to faith in Christ. You must believe. Listen, you're a sinner. You must. Why? Because I've experienced it's going to come off instead of, look, dude, you need to repent. You see, the way the message will be, it'll be completely different. Listen, you guys may have grown up hearing the gospel, but hear it new. Hear it in a new way. You are the sinner. You are the one in need of the righteousness of Christ. You are the one. And when you internalize that message, what it will do is it will crush your heart. Listen, if you've never been like this before God, you're not ready to share the gospel. If you've never seen how overwhelmed you are, how overwhelming sinful you are, and you've never cried, then you're not ready. But see, when you come to that point and you see yourself as the sinner and him as the giver of this gift, then you're going to communicate it in a different way. Internalize that message. Go through Quest for Truth and internalize it. Okay? Because it'll change your own heart and your own life. It'll break you down. Secondly, you need to do to prepare is study and know the gospel. I've said it already, so I won't spend long saying it again, but you need to study and know the gospel. You don't want to start sharing with your friends and you don't know what to even say, right? Then lastly, you need to do to prepare to share the gospel is you need to see the people you are sharing the gospel with accuracy. See them with accuracy. You say, Shannon, what do you mean? Okay. Come here, there, iPad man. Are you playing games or are you taking notes? What are you
I'm
doing?
Taking notes.
Okay, good. Thanks for taking notes. Yeah. You're the man. Come on, baby. You're the man. I haven't offended you, have I? Okay. Okay, good. So see the world differently. If this guy's in the world, there's two types of people. Come here, homie. There's two types of people. There's those who are in bondage to what? Sin themselves. Okay? Can he get out of it? Can he get out of it? Yes or no? No. Sin has him under control. He can't get out of it. You can yell at him, you can scream, he can't get out of it. Listen, a homosexual is a homosexual. Why? Why? He's in bondage to sin and he can't get out of it. A drunkard is a drunkard. Why? He can't get out of his sin. Jesus can hang on a cross and he can cry out to these people and he can say, Father, forgive them, for they know what? What do you mean they don't know what they're doing? What do you mean they don't know what they're doing? Why do they not know what they're doing? Because they're in what? Bondage to sin. You see, who is going to look on the world and see them with accuracy? This guy, you're in bondage. Come on, stay in bondage. You're in bondage to sin. Who's going to have compassion? Who's going to have care? Who's going to bleed? Who's going to cry? Do you see them with accuracy? You guys, we want to look at it because they have crazy hairdos or tattoos all over their body, and we look at them and condemn them. Oh, what a loser. Because they have three kids that are all out of wedlock. And we say, what a loser. Listen, they're a loser because they're in what?
Bondage to sin.
Bondage to sin. Who's going to cry for them? Who's going to feel their pain? Who's going to have compassion? See the world with accuracy. That's how you prepare to share the gospel. If you're looking at all your friends and you're condemning them and saying, what a loser. Don't you dare go to share the gospel with them because you're not what? Prepared. That's killed the gospel. You see, they're either in bondage to sin or they've been set free from sin. Is one better than the other? Huh?
Yeah.
They're not better in and of themselves. The only difference between this one and this one is one thing. Do you know what it is? Jesus Christ and the grace of God. There's a saying we use as Christians, but by the grace of God go what? I would be this if it wasn't for the grace of God. I would be this. So who is going to condemn this person? But rather, we who are like this, we need to be bleeding for these people. There's a song you guys should, oldie, but for me it's a goodie. A guy by the name of Steve Camp wrote a song, Can You Feel Their Pain? So can you feel their pain? Has it touched your life? Just look, Steve Camp, Doing My Best album. I grew up listening to that. Worth getting. Steve Camp, Doing My Best. But the thing I loved about it is he gave me a heart for these people. Look, see the world with accuracy. When you walk outside here, when you go to that mall, that girl that's wearing the skirt up here, she's doing it because what? She's in bondage to sin and she's wanting love. Who's going to go? Who's going to go? Don't look with condemnation. Don't look with criticism. But look with what? Compassion. What described the life of Jesus was he was filled with compassion. May we be filled with
compassion.
See the world with accuracy. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Thanks for, hopefully I didn't offend you. See the world with accuracy. And if we're going to be prepared, you see, if we don't get prepared, the way we're going to evangelize, it's going to be like, it's going to just be awkward. Dude, you sinner, you're going to hell. I mean, there's people who evangelize like that. Versus this, oh, dude, I am so sorry of the circumstances you're facing. One cool passage I love, the insightful passage, is Romans 3. I have, by the way, I have a few messages on Romans 1 to 8. If you would ever want them, just go on my website and email me. I can send them to you. But I have messages from Romans 1 to 8. Maybe next year I'll just give it out as a gift to you all. But one insightful passage, Romans 3, he says this, verse 17 and 18, verse 16, 17, and 18, he says this, speaking of those who are in bondage to sin, and that's the context, he says this about them. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their paths. Destruction and misery are in their paths. The path of peace they have not known. Listen, where you see destruction and misery, you see the effects of someone being in bondage to sin. Brothers and sisters, who will bleed? Who will cry? Who will hurt for such people? Who will go to my brother who's gay with the message and call him to love Christ? Who will love him instead of throwing rocks at him? Who will be crushed over him? Who? Religious people are the ones that are just throwing rocks. Christians are with broken hearts. Do you understand the difference? But see, when you've internalized the gospel, you realize that, but by the grace of God go I. That's how you prepare to share the gospel. Now, how do you execute? How do you execute? This is the way you execute. Number one, start loving and serving your friend or your community. Start loving and serving your friend and your community. Start loving them. Find out ways. You want to reach your grandma for the Lord? What do you need to do? What do you need to do? Start loving her. What do you need to do? Come on, everybody. What do you need to do?
Serve.
You need to start by loving and serving her. You want to reach your community? You want to reach your neighbors? What do you need to do? Love and serve. Let me tell you, if you start bringing cookies over to your neighbor and you start, and going over and say, hey, you know what? I just want to love you as a neighbor. Can I do your lawn? Can I? Yeah, man, your community's going to be like, who is this young person? Right? You want to execute by starting to love and find ways to serve. Listen, your brother or your sister, they don't know the Lord. What do? Start loving and serving them. And see, that's so contrary to us. Sometimes religious people, what do? We withdraw from our communities. We hide from our communities. We're afraid of them. And listen, I don't think you saturate yourself with them. That would be against God's word. But you need to go to them with a mission. And that mission first is a mission of love. So find practical ways to love and serve. Amen? The second thing you need to do is that you need to intentionally guide the conversation towards spiritual things or towards the idea of having a Bible study together. Intentionally guide the conversation towards spiritual things or to the idea of having a Bible study together. It's not that hard. Just start guiding it. You don't have to come in and like dump load the gospel in a funky way, okay? You don't need to do that. What you can do, where's my book again? Right here? No? How could you not have it on? No, just kidding. What you need to do is just say, you know what? Would you have interest in having a Bible study? You know, our communities, you guys live in the Bible Belt, most of you. How many live in the Bible Belt? Dude, it's easy. You're a Christian? Hey, me too. Dude, I've been wanting to have a Bible study on campus. Can we have a Bible study together? There you go. Don't even say, well, what really faith are you? Oh, you're Episcopal, huh? You guys don't know the gospel. You guys are losable. You know, you guys have these gay people in your church? No. Don't go there. Most people don't know what they believe. So let's just start together and grow what? Together. Okay, so intentionally take the conversation a direction. And listen, there's so much material out there. Here's one of them that you can use to just grow and help. And just say, you could even just start loving them. Don't even say anything. And just say, you know what? I just got this gift. I just want to give this gift to you. This book has impacted my life. I think you'd love it. And you just give them, I'll give these for $5, because that's what they cost me. I'll give them to any of you. $5 track. You know, just email me and I'll find a way to get them to you. If you go on the internet, you'll pay a little bit more for them. But the goal is the gospel. That's why for me, I just said, okay, let me give them out to all of you guys. I don't care. They cost me money, but I don't care. I want to get the gospel where? Out. And so everyone who gets one gets the gospel. And so with that, just give it to them. I'll meet people on the plane. One time I met someone on the plane as I was writing, and he said, hey, you know what? I'm doing this book. Would you mind just proofreading and looking, not proofreading, would you mind going through and tell me what you think? This person went from the first chapter through the sixth chapter all on that plane ride. And it's because it was a long plane ride. But the thing is be you don't have to like shove the truth down them, but get them down that road. Does that make sense? And you can do it by taking them. If you know them, you'll see them consistently. Take them through it. But listen, when you communicate the gospel, communicate with compassion, communicate with gentleness, communicate with patience. That's what the Bible would tell us. Communicate with compassion, gentleness, and patience, okay? I'm going to challenge you guys. Disciple one person who doesn't know the Lord. I want you to go apply this one right here. Everybody think right now who you could do this with. How many have somebody in mind that you could take some do this with? Okay, those that don't, think of somebody. And I want to challenge you. You guys prepare your hearts, then execute, okay? Seem like a good plan? Practical? Let me give you a third thing. How can you communicate the gospel quickly to someone? Okay? Let me give you some tips. I'm just going to give you three tips on how to share the gospel quickly. So if you have friends around you, it's easy to do the method we just talked about, right? Because you have time to love them. It's not necessarily a hurry. But there's times where you just meet somebody, and it's like you're on the plane, and you start talking with them, and it's like you don't have long. Right? So how can you share the gospel with them quickly? Well, let me tell you, Riley. Let me tell you. Okay, first thing you want to do is you want to find out their what?
Religious background.
Their religious background. That's the first thing you want to do. So what you want to do is say, hey, so, you know, you're chatting, you're just talking small, but, you know, hey, what sports do you like?
Basketball and baseball.
Basketball and baseball. And they'll give you some small talk back. And somewhere, somehow, you just say, well, yeah. You know, I like my favorite movie. It's Courageous. Have you ever heard that movie? You know, okay,
yeah,
Courageous. Have you heard? You seen it? It's a good movie, huh? And you say, yeah, you know, it's a Christian movie. You may not know it or not. But see, I just say the word Christian now. Now all of a sudden we're on a religious conversation. And he doesn't know it. You know, it's a Christian movie. Yeah, so you can even ask him, what's your favorite movie? And they say, oh, what's yours? You know, I like this movie, Courageous. It's kind of a Christian movie, so you may not know it, but, you know, it is. You know, do you go to church anywhere? What about you? I'm a Christian. What about you?
I go to church.
You're Mormon? Okay, good. You're Mormon? Okay. So first you're finding out they're religious. See, with that, you know, what I like is I'm a missionary. So they say, what do you do? And I go, well, I live in Uganda. I'm a missionary. Are you Mormon? No, I'm not Mormon. I'm a Christian. Usually I'll try and say I'm a Christian missionary just because I don't want to be identified as a Mormon. And then I say, do you go to church? What are you? You know, and they'll say, oh, you know, I'm Jehovah's Witness. I'm Catholic. Oh, I'm a Christian too. Awesome. You know, and you say, oh, okay, what denomination are you? Oh, you're Episcopalian? Okay, that's cool. You know, I said, so what do Episcopals believe about the gospel? you know? So with that, what you do is, then what you're going is you find out their religious background. The second thing you do is you ask them what they believe. You ask them what they believe, okay? So what do you believe? Okay, you're Mormon, so what do you believe? You know, I don't, tell me, you act stupid, like you know nothing. What do Mormons believe? You know, they're like, oh, this is an opportunity to evangelize, you know, and they get all excited. What do they believe? You know, and then they talk about it, and you're taking it from what they believe to, so what source of truth does it come through? And what will they say? What would a Mormon say? They'd say the Book of Mormon, but if they're talking to a Christian, they'd also say what?
The Bible.
The Bible. Bum-ba-da-dum. You fell into my trap. Oh, you believe the Bible too? Really? And that is so awesome. So what happens is then you begin to just explain it. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible too. So for us, we believe that we're sinners, that we're born in this problem called what? Sin, and this thing called sin controls us and dominates us, and that we need to be set free from this thing called sin. You just understand? And then you can tell them exactly what you believe. But you do it in a gentle way. You do it in a loving way. And you just begin to share. Just act like, you know, just talk, you know, and just say, is that what you guys believe? And then you're just in a dialogue. But then what you do is you say, well, the way we believe that is because we believe in the Bible. Everything we believe as Christians is in the... And what you do is you help them to understand that the source of your faith is, you help them understand your faith and what the source of your faith is. Okay, go and sit down, Riley. Riley, you are awesome. So, but what that does, the reason I would want you to bring them to the source is because at the end of the day, they need to know where to turn to. Does that make sense? So anyone I talk to, I'll bring them to the source. I'll share my faith with anyone because they've got nothing on me. Because one, I know my gospel. Two, I know my source is better than theirs. So at the end of the day, they got nothing. And someone would say, well, you know, I believe that, you know, God is comes to us in many different ways. Oh, you believe that? You believe that? Really? Where do you get that? I mean, what's the source of that? Well, you know, God just kind of reveals it to me. He reveals that to you? So you think that in your belief system, you think that God reveals to you something special, that he reveals something and just to you? What about everybody else? So, and what about all these religions throughout the time? You think your religion's better than theirs? Do you understand how ridiculous it is? So you take them back to their source, okay? But when you take them to their source and you hear what they believe, then it gives a platform for you to tell them what you believe. And you just share with them. When you tell them what you believe, let them know you believe in the Bible, that this is the source. So I'm going to give you four little things you can tell them. But let them know you believe the Bible and that your source of religion comes from this, okay? Your source of faith comes from the Bible. The reason you want to do that is because you always want to take them back to the source so that when they go home and just like brag about it. Man, the Bible's awesome. I mean, I love this. You know, so that what happens, it creates curiosity that the Spirit of God can then call them back to. Does that make sense? And then what you do is you just tell them man's problem with sin. You tell them, thirdly, Christ's solution. And then fourthly, you tell them what they need to do. Those are the four elements. One, tell them what you believe, tell them man's problem, tell them Christ's solution, and what you need to do. Okay, yes?
When you hear them as an unbeliever and they say, well, how do you know the Bible is true?
Yeah. You can just say, what you can
say.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing is, what I would tell them is exactly what I've told to everybody in the gospel preparatory thing. Right here, you have a thing that says, fourth chapter, is the Bible a reliable source? Right here. So everything you want to know, what is religion? It's told right here. I lead you through all of this stuff. What I do is I kind of take you as if you know nothing about Christianity, and I lead you step by step all the way through the gospel. So this will be an aid to you so that you can learn it. And if you can learn it, then you can tell anybody about God. And so with that, I would tell him exactly what I told him here. And I can go into all that if you wanted, but for time, I'll point you to it. Okay? You're welcome. Anyone else? Any other questions that way? Last thing I want to tell you is this. Question I want to answer is this. How do I support a missionary if I'm not called? How do I support a missionary if I'm not called? Or if I'm in high school and my parents won't let me go? Okay? How do you support a missionary? Let me give you some practical things. Is this helpful? Good? You guys are tired. Some of you are yawning. You adults, come on. You lost your party spirit? Let's go. Lost it a long time ago, right? See, you know why we've lost our party spirit? It's because when you were babies, you kept us up all night. And so we're just catching up, right? So anyway, how to support a missionary. Number one is this. Find a missionary that you respect and a mission that you respect. First thing you need to do is find a missionary that you respect and that you love, okay? Then secondly, you need to do the following things, okay? Okay, this is what we're talking about, how to support a missionary, not just financially, but just how to support them, be a part of their mission. Okay, you find one that you respect. Why do you say find one you respect? Because there's a lot of missionaries out there. Some of them aren't doing much, okay? Let me be honest with you. 80% of missionaries I would never support, I would never give a dollar to. Why? Because they're not doing anything. Because they're not driven. They're not passionate. They're on the field. We appreciate that. We respect it. But listen, they're not doing jack diddly on the field. Okay? They're not immersed in the ministry. Sometimes I wonder whether they're called. Okay? I'm just being honest with you, being on the ground. I've known missionaries for 10 years, and you look at the fruit of their ministry, it's that big. Okay? Well, look, I don't want to support someone to have coffee, you know, with people. You know what I mean? I want to support someone that is going to inspire me to godly living. And so find one that inspires you and that you can respect. Then secondly, support him in the following ways. One, give monthly to them. Say, I knew he's going to give a sales pitch. No, I'm not talking about me, though. Well, certainly if you want to come alongside us and learn more and just be part of us, awesome. But give monthly. Look it. Why do I say give monthly? Because look, when you give, your heart will be what? There. You'll be committed. It could be a dollar. How many of you can afford giving a dollar a month? Okay? Good. I'm glad. Okay? So it doesn't matter what it is. But when you give something, your heart will be there. Okay? So it's not about money, it's about your ownership of them. And the way you'll have ownership is if you give. If you say, oh, Shannon, I love you so much, and you don't give to me, to be honest with you, I'll think, okay, you're just a cheerleader when I'm there, and when I'm not there, there's no cheerleading, okay? You don't even think of me. But if you give every month, and it's coming off your credit card or whatever it might be, then you're going to be a part of our ministry in some capacity. Make sense? So give something, and again, it can be a dollar. It's not about the amount, it's about the ownership. Secondly, pray for them and with them. Pray for them and with them. So find out what's going on and pray for them. And you say, Shannon, and with them, what do you mean? Get their phone number. Today it's amazing. I can call you from Uganda and you'll think I'm next door. I talk to my wife 2 times a day while I'm here. Probably because I'm just like in love with her. But two, like, although I don't call her just because of the plan I have here, she calls me, I email and say, call me hot baby, and so she calls me. Okay? But what you can do is you can call. Very cheaply you can call. You can get a calling card. You can call just to say, hey, can you just tell me one way I can pray for you and let me pray for you? I have one guy that does it once a month. He calls me just to pray for me. I'm like, what an awesome guy. You know what? He's about what we're about. So now I get 50 people, you guys calling once a month. I'm like, oh, what am I doing? No, I would love it. Just to pray with me. Don't stay long on the phone, you know. Be sensitive. Hey, is now a good time? Yeah, it's a good time. Just call. Pray for them and with them. And you'll know whether it's too much, but people would be shocked. Third thing you do is get their updates and visit them. Every once in a while, visit them and get their updates. You guys are getting tired on me, huh? Okay, visit them and get their updates. Okay? And last thing is this. Tell others about them. Tell others about them. Rally others to come on board. You want to support a missionary? You can't go, but you can tell others and rally others to come alongside, right? So that would be my encouragement to you guys on how to support a missionary. Okay? Those are the questions that I had for you. What questions do you have in our final few minutes? Anyone? Yeah.
How did you meet Bosco?
How did I meet Bosco? What I did was I needed someone to help me with my conferences. I talked to some friends in Uganda, and what they did was they said, hey, call this guy. I called him. I started doing ministry with him. He started leading music for our conferences. I began to Todd, he's like, man, this truth, I've never heard it, and we began a relationship that way. And so I began to disciple him from afar, if you will. And then slowly he became part of us. Good question. Anyone else? Yes?
Would you say that the best and really the only way to be a successful missionary is to get a degree in mission?
Great question. Let me tell you this. Okay, I'm going to give you some advice that will shock you. Is the best way to get if you want to be a missionary, to get a degree in missions, my answer to you, no. I wouldn't do that. I don't think missionology is let me just take this on. I don't think so. I personally think get it in like biblical counseling, get it in Bible exposition, because let it help your mission, not just help you about missions in general. I don't believe much in missionology. I think you want to, because the problem is this, and even some things I told you, like the other day I was talking to my brother here, and he was telling me, you know, Shannon, you said, you know, don't that old school mission is getting immersed in and becoming like the people. And he says, well, you know, I'm a missionary in downtown Louisville. And I'm like, you know what? Let me take that back in this way. In Uganda, that's the way it is. But your mission field here. So the problem with missions is, what mission field are we talking about? You know, I think that a lot of the practicals, I don't think you need to get in a missions class or a missions course, personally. I think learn your Bible so that you can be, because how can you build the church and strengthen the church if you don't have the tool, if you aren't immersed in the tool? Get immersed in the tool that you're going to be used to disciple them in. So that would be my encouragement. Or let's say your giftedness isn't in preaching, it's in administration. Well, get a degree in administration, or teaching English as a second language, or in education, or in being a doctor because you want a mission. So get trained for what you're going to do specifically, and then just take a couple electives in missions. That's what my recommendation would be.
So when you talk about the master's,
In the field of expertise, you're going to do it. Yeah, so some people, they might want to do construction. Well, look, go get a degree so that you can become the best construction person alive. Does that make sense? So get trained in a field, not in an ideology, okay? Yeah.
What's the best way to handle somebody who's totally dope when you
try to? What's the best way to?
Handle it.
What you need to do is you handle it with love and grace. Handle it with love and grace. We can't force someone to accept, right? And listen, I love my family. I love them. But they often reject me, and they reject. So I'm not going to take it personally. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just keep loving them and just keep loving them and just keep loving them. The Bible says to dust off our feet, meaning you did your part. But listen, as Spurgeon said, if someone's going to go to hell, let them go climbing over my over my body to get there, right? And so we're very intentional. One thing someone said to me yesterday, said, Shannon, one thing I like about you is you're very intentional in every relationship. Why am I intentional in every relationship? Because every relationship matters. I'm intentional with my life. Some people say I'm so intense. Well, life is intense. And so with that, be intentional in every relationship. And so those friends, you're intentional with them, and they know you live for a purpose. But listen, live the truth. Live it. Don't preach what you don't live, okay? Don't preach what you, because that becomes hypocrisy. One of the biggest killers to the gospel is bad parents. And so with that, live the truth, and then you'll become an aroma, a sweet aroma that will draw you to it. Does that make sense? Okay. Listen, guys, it's been a joy to be with you this week. I'm sad to let you go, but I think your parents will get mad at me if I keep you too long. But let me just say to you guys that I care for you. If there's anything I can do to help you on the mission field or in your mission field here, let me do it. Where are the leaders among you? Please rise up in your youth groups and lead people to be missional. We are all what? Missionaries. Be the best missionary you can right now. Be the best missionary you can. The other thing I'd say, if there's a way I can partner with your church, you guys want to come on a missions trip, here, let me give you my information. You guys can always call me. You don't have a dad, you have my email, okay? I'll do my best to love as many of you as I possibly can, but here is my email. Okay, if you want to have your church come out and do a missions trip, you come, okay? And you email me, we'll see what we can do. We're looking to partner with churches, but most of all, if you need help, if you need someone just to give you a hug from afar, you need someone to call you, you email me, I'll call you, and we can just talk, okay? And may the Lord bless you guys as you go, leave right here into your mission fields. Okay, let me pray for you. Father, we just pray for these young people, Lord, that they would digest all of this. Help this not just be information that goes. Help them get a plan. Help them to figure out things that they can apply for your purposes. Father, I pray that you'll help these students love you more because we spent time together. For the praise and glory of your name, we pray. Amen.